Welcome to Talking of Books. I'm Isabel Abel-Hall, your host today, and I'm joined by co-host Yvette Judge. And today we are celebrating Arab world literature in its entirety. No, I'm joking. We are going to be looking at some wonderful books that are currently available in Arabic, but also often in translation, which fits in very well with next week's Emirates Literature Foundation initiative. We have our first Dubai Translation Conference, and I'm so excited about this event. I can't tell you. It's just sort of, it's a culmination that the festival and the foundation have had for some years, and to see it come together and to see such amazing speakers turning up next Thursday, or actually they'll be here Wednesday night, ready for a three-day extravaganza of translation.
Definitely. Actually, I do remember some months ago, Isabel, you said, how hard can it be to organise a translation conference?
In a moment of fury, I think. Self-fury.
I'd just like to revisit that moment. How hard has it been?
Oh, gosh. Actually, it's been a joy to look over the world at who would be my sort of complete wish list of top speakers. And I have to say that we've got nearly all of them. It's been an absolutely brilliant. And the thing is, when you're putting together, as you know from the festival and all the other things we do, it's the mix and the marriage between different speakers from different parts of the world, and that
absolutely
chemistry of bringing them together and putting them on a platform. And I do like it when I have people of differing opinions on the stage, because for us in the audience, that's what makes it exciting. When they talk passionately about their point of view, and then the person rebuts it as passionately, and you're sat there thinking, gosh, who do I agree with? Have I changed my mind while I've been listening?
No, it's great. And I think what's been really nice for us in the past few days is having been immersed in it and getting it underground and all the things that go alongside it, making sure the branding's there, making sure we're feeding people, all those things. You sort of get distracted from the whole point of it. So I think it's just been lovely to see some of the tweets we've had about the excitement that people are feeling. And people are upset because they are too far away or have work commitments, which mean that they can't come. And they're not angry with us. They're just, you know, frustrated that they can't be here because they think it's brilliant. So that actually has been a really nice boost this weekend, I think.
Yes, and I sort of took this on as a mission in the way that I do sometimes, thinking that, you know, how difficult can it be? And then realising, actually, how difficult it can be. That is the sort of story of my life, let me say. But what I loved was then thinking about angles on translation, because again I think it's really important that we at the foundation break ground, that we become trailblazers in looking at things perhaps in slightly unusual ways. So one of my favorite sessions is Google Translate and Other Joys. Now
absolutely.
I know that translators will be banging their heads against a wall, no doubt, but we have to look to the future. And we also have to understand the limits of where we are now in terms of what software can do, even the wonderful Google Translate. So that will be a fabulous discussion. The other thing is the frankly untranslatable. There are things that are untranslatable, particularly things like idioms and proverbs. And we've got some world-class speakers to talk us through that and give us funny examples, I'm sure, in both English and Arabic to that maybe we haven't even thought about. I mean, language is a living, breathing thing, and your mother tongue is something that you innately understand, but trying to take it to another language is never easy.
No, it makes for wonderful humour as well. But if anyone's listening and is wondering whether they can actually join us for the translation conference, it's not just for academics or for anybody in the industry. We'd quite like anyone to register, and you can do that through our website, through the Emirates Literature Foundation website. You can either register for the conference, or we've got two amazing evening events which I'm very excited about.
Yes, so first of all, the website is www.elf Dubai. We are elves, so elfdubai.org. And thanks to our wonderful partners, the Executive Council of Dubai, we are able to offer complimentary delegates passes For the 3-day conference, or you can sign up for 1 day, and also for the evening events. And the evening events feature the one and only Ahla Mustaganami on Thursday the 20th in the evening, and on the 21st, the Friday evening, it's Ahdef Suef. And with Ahla Mustaganami, we are so delighted that Nancy Roberts, her translator, is flying all the way from the United States of America to be here to talk about it. And her books are available in Arabic and English. And I think that will be a fascinating session. There's simultaneous translation throughout all the sessions. One of the sessions I'm most delighted about, and if anyone out there is listening who is interested in sign language, we have also got a workshop on sign language in Arabic for those who may have hearing impairments. And I want to go along to that, and I want to learn a few signs so that if I meet someone who has got hearing impairment who speaks Arabic, I can at least make simple greetings. So all of this is on the website. There are so many different sessions. Which is your favourite, Yvette?
I think actually, well, I'm really looking forward to the evening events, and particularly to Ahla Mustaganami. I haven't read her. I've heard so much about her. And any Arabic reader that you speak to just goes, oh, she's fantastic. So I've actually got a book in translation on my desk, which I will read before the event. But also, it has to be the Google Translate, because I've had such brilliant experiences, not necessarily in Arabic, but with French, when people have put particularly the menus into Google Translate from French into English. And hysterical dishes have arrived from that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's because it's electronic,
yeah,
obviously.
Exactly.
But it's now in my iPhone. When I put, you know, I'm typing either emails or messages or what have you, it knows now. It's picked up my usage, and it knows what words are going to be there. What are my common words? And it's so intuitive, and I love it. I'm just thinking it's actually much more intuitive than my laptop.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen. Right. That is going to happen. There is going to be, you know, the millions of words. The computers can digest them, and they can bring up if this is the word in that language. But it's never going to be the human brain. That is the thing that we have to remember. But we shouldn't discount it, because it does certainly play a role. Mm. The other one I'm really, really interested in, and if there are any film buffs out there, people who love cinema, we have the big screen with tiny subtitles. So we've got a whole session on subtitles in films, and do they work? How do we as an audience like them? Are they really getting the message across to us properly? So as a lover of films with subtitles, I'm interested in that session too.
And I think anybody who's listening who wants to just come for one session, are they allowed to do that, Isabel? Can they just come for one thing? They need to register for a day.
Yes.
But
yes,
if you're working and you can only come to an afternoon one, yeah.
To
absolutely
have the benefit of this. What we haven't said is, where is it?
Oh, yes.
So it's at Dubai Healthcare City. It's right next to the metro stop at Dubai Healthcare City. And it's in the Mohammed bin Rashid University of Medicine and Health Sciences, which is an amazing venue. They've got one of the best auditoriums in Dubai. So they very kindly are hosting the translation conference for us. And so far, it's looking fantastic.
It is.
And we'll be there to welcome all these experts from around the world, who have been specially chosen because they bring enjoyment, entertainment, and fun to the sessions. Those are three words that you don't often hear in the same breath as a translation conference.
Indeed.
Now, the other news, I have been absolutely, I can't tell you, I spent the whole day yesterday listening to my record collection, all right?
Are those
who
real
won
records,
the Nobel
Isabel?
Prize for Literature?
Let me think. Any listeners know? Maybe it was somebody quite unusual and quite unexpected. I don't think he'd be mentioned by anybody. I'm not sure that anybody thought that Bob Dylan was going to win.
Yeah, and my goodness, it is the most inspiring choice. I mean, every year I slightly am depressed when I see who wins the Nobel Prize for Literature. I'm not saying they're not worthy, but Bob Dylan, if you were my age or if you were 16, you would be able to listen to Bob Dylan's amazing, amazing literary creations. We've got a small clip here that is not Bob Dylan singing, but it's actually famous actors reciting their favourite little bits of Bob Dylan. We're going to listen to that now.
in the big pan wants $11 bills, but you only got 10. Maggie comes fleet foot, face full of black soot, talking that the heat put plants in the bed, but the phone's tapped anyway. Maggie says that many say they must bust in early May. Orders from the DA.
Early one morning, the sun was shining. I was lying in bed, wondering if she'd changed at all, if her hair was still red. Her folks said our lives together sure was going to be rough. They never did like Mama's homemade dress. Papa's bank book wasn't big enough. As I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast, Lord knows I've paid some dues, getting through, tangled up in blue. She was married when we first met, soon to be divorced. I helped her out of a jam, I guess, but I used a little too much force.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? Yes, and how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
I've seen love go by my door. It's never been this close before. Never been so easy or so slow. I've been shooting in the dark too long. When something's not right, it's wrong. You're gonna make me lonesome when you go. Dragon clouds so high above, I've only known careless love. It's always hit me from below. This time around, it's more correct. Right on target. So direct. You're gonna make me lonesome when you go.
Book News, your latest literary roundup. From Shakespeare to Tolstoy, Stephen King to Danielle Steele, this is Talking of Books.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
On Dubai Eye 103.8. Now, back to the team.
Welcome back to Talking of Books. I'm Isabel Abel Hall and joined by co-host Yvette Judge. And we're talking, this show has a deep focus on Arab world literature, but we were so carried away with the news of the new Nobel laureate Bob Dylan and how stunning and fantastic and inspirational a choice he was from the Nobel Prize judge and jury. One of our former poets who've attended the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature and a former poet laureate, Andrew Motion, said the prize is a wonderful acknowledgement of Dylan's genius. For 50 and some years, he has bent, coaxed and teased and persuaded words into lyrics and narrative shapes that are at once extraordinary and inevitable. Thank you, Andrew Motion, for that, because I think it just sums it all up. And as I said, I spent the whole of yesterday just revisiting all of Bob Dylan's music and his tracks and then looking at lyrics separate to the music. And he's got such a thin, reedy voice. But the thing that I absolutely, for me, defines him is the harmonica.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of such a powerful part of his music. Were you a Bob Dylan fan?
I probably wasn't that much, but I didn't like his voice that much when I was growing up. However, I did love the covers by other people of his music, and I guess that's how I first got introduced to him. Then probably when I, maybe early 70s, when I actually started listening to him, I just realised what I'd been missing. But I was quite young before that.
It's so not I his voice. Myself. It was always the thoughts.
Exactly,
and
which,
the way it was put,
when you're
because
eight,
he's
you
almost
realize.
He's almost talking to you,
yeah,
and trying to sort of get thoughts into your brain, and it's subconsciously. Mm, when I look back on it, it was almost subconscious.
See, the first thing I ever bought that was by him was a record. You remember those brown
yes,
black flat
I
things?
Do.
It was second hand, and it was a single, and it had Maggie's Farm on one side, and it had Lay Lady Lay on the other.
Oh.
And I think listening to those, I just really changed my opinion that I became a Bob Dylan fan.
Mm. So I hope that generations who are growing up today who may not have been as exposed to Bob Dylan as I was and you were, not so much, but certainly for my generation, he defined what we felt. He was so able to put those thoughts into words. But so fantastic, fantastic new Nobel laureate for us for literature. And I just can't imagine that it's going to be such an easy choice in next year for the Nobel.
No, it's opened the whole thing up, hasn't it, really?
Yes.
Because it's been very, very traditional, if you like, and there have been people who've got the Nobel Prize for Literature that I've never heard of, not that I have an immense literary knowledge. However, you think, who is that? And I just think it's great for the prize itself to have such a popular and populist choice.
I've got the quiz question. And if you are lucky enough to be chosen and win and send the right answer, you will get one of our signed copies from the 2016, one of the authors who attended the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. So please answer this question. Have these American writers won the Nobel Prize for Literature? So John Steinbeck, Ernest Hemingway and Toni Morrison. So it's a simple yes or no answer. Please text in your answers to 4001 and please put your name, and you could be a lucky winner for today's show. But this is the not the witching hour, this is the hour where we're joined by a young reviewer to tell us all about his or her favorite books of the moment, and we're very happy to be joined by Nadir. Welcome, Nadir, to Talking of Books.
Thank you.
And you're at Dubai College,
yep,
in year 10. And just before we went on air, I was asking you, was it an easy choice to choose all your GCSE subjects? And you said you've gone for what you really enjoy. So that's good. And you're doing Arabic GCSE as well.
Yes.
Yes. But the book you've chosen to tell us about today, please just tell us what it is and what you love about it.
Okay, so the book I've chosen is The Hidden Oracle in the Trials of Apollo series by Rick Riordan. And basically I chose this book because I've been reading Rick Riordan's books since I was quite little and I really enjoy them. So I read almost every single one whenever a new one comes out. And yeah.
So what you've done is you were introduced to Rick Riordan. How old were you when you first started reading his books?
I would say maybe 9 or 10.
Okay, and how did you find out about him? Did someone recommend him? Was it a librarian? Was it a friend at school? Can you remember?
I think it was, I saw the movie and then I wanted to read the books after
that. Great. So then once you'd read one, you were hooked and you...
Exactly.
You know what it's going to be like. You know the kind of story he tells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you started reading them when you were 10 and now you're 14?
14, yeah.
Okay. Is this series that you're currently got the first one of, is it meant for older readers, or actually are you just loving them so much that maybe it's not even any harder to read than the ones you were reading when you were 10, but you just are so into them that you can't stop reading them whatever age group they're for?
Yeah, I think they're for the age group of around maybe 16 and below.
Okay.
Because they're written in a sort of style that's really easy. It's an easy read and it's sort of really child friendly.
That's good. That's important. I think it's really important that, well, for any of us really, that actually we can read books that are difficult and heavy, but we also love books that actually you get a lot of enjoyment for and you just want to turn the pages and keep reading. And I think Rick Riordan is probably, I don't know how many millions of books he's sold, but he has a huge following, doesn't he?
He does. And if you look at his website, I don't know whether you've ever looked at that, Nadia, but he does everything for teachers as well. He goes into how you can use the books in school, all the background to the books. It's a brilliant, brilliant website as well. And he's just got his marketing right, but the stories are great. It's the sort of thing that I would call my comfort read, where, you know, if you just want something to relax with and that you know is going to be good. And I think that's the thing with his books, they're consistently good and appealing. You don't read one, you just think, oh, he was a bit off the boil here. They're all great.
Yep, they are.
They're quite, that book you've got, is how many pages is it? Because it's quite a chunky book. For those listeners, it's not a slim volume, is it?
It's 417 pages.
Yes, so it's sort of a Harry Potter length.
It is. And I reckon his books have definitely got longer, haven't they? I think the first Percy Jackson ones they weren't short, but maybe 250 pages. So, yeah, he's certainly taxing his readers.
So I have to put my hand up, Yvette, and say I have never read a Rick Riordan book. It's missed me. Sorry. I did when I was much younger than you, probably about 9 or 10. I loved the Greek mythology books. They used to do like a whole collection. So tell us a little bit about what goes on in these stories?
So Rick Riordan's first series was the Percy Jackson series, and it was about a boy called Percy Jackson, who was the son of Poseidon, which is one of the Greek gods in Greek mythology.
And, is he Poseidon anything to do with the sea?
Yeah, he's the god of the sea.
There we go. Pat yourself on my back. Yes, okay.
And he was sort of in danger because he didn't really know that he was the son of Poseidon until these dangers started appearing.
And then did he have special powers, as it were?
Yeah, he has sort of powers to do with the sea, so he can control water and things like that.
Fantastic. So that's a really, so it's sort of, it's tapping into Greek mythology, which is always such a fascinating kind of storylines. And you know, I always, was it the seven tasks of Hercules, or maybe it was more than that?
He had a few, got around, how many had actually?
The Minotaur.
Yeah.
Was the Minotaur, you know, all those things. I mean, I do sort of vaguely remember, but I'll have to try Rick Riordan book.
Yeah, I'm getting very hazy now in my Greek mythology. Yes. I'm keep quiet.
There's so much in Greek mythology that he can write so many different books about different parts of it as well.
That's the thing, he's really tapping into a rich theme, isn't he?
Yeah. Theseus, that was it, Theseus and the Minotaur, got there, yeah.
Few.
So, this new series, same characters, different characters? Is Percy in it?
Percy is in it.
Phew.
but not for that much of the book. He's not really a main character. It's he's added a new character called Meg, which is...
So she's female?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's also a demigod.
Okay.
So, yeah. And, I don't really want to spoil it too much, but Apollo is also one of the Greek gods, and he's punished for something and he becomes immortal, and
okay. So it's a big adventure, now. Obviously Rick Riordan is an absolutely brilliant writer, and you've got a huge amount to talk to, but what I'd like to do is, after this break, I would like to ask you what was the first book you remember reading that really inspired you to become an avid reader? So can you be thinking about that? And we will come back to you after this short break.
From Shakespeare to Tolstoy, Stephen King to Danielle Steele, this is Talking of Books.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
On Dubai Eye, 103.8. Now, back to the team.
And good morning. Here on Talking of Books, you've got me, Yvette Judge, and we've got Isabel Abel-Hall, and we've got a slightly eclectic mix of items today, I think. The focus is on the Arabic language. We've talked about our translation conference. We've talked about wonderful Bob Dylan, who has just won the Nobel Prize for Literature. And just to give you another chance at our quiz question, it's very, very simple. It's a yes-no answer. Have the following writers won the Nobel Prize for Literature? John Steinbeck, Toni Morrison, Ernest Hemingway. Yes or no to 4001, and don't forget to tell us your name. And at the moment in the studio, we've got Nadir, who is at Dubai College. He's just told me that his English teacher is lovely Miss Greer, who I remember from way back when she was a pupil at Jess. That's a bit scary. So hope Miss Greer is listening to this, and we'll say good morning to her. And we were talking about reading, what inspires you to read and what you remember reading as a child. And Isabel gave you the chance to have 2 minutes think about what was the first book that really got you hooked on reading. And this is the first book that you read yourself that got you hooked on reading. I'm sure you were read to a lot before that. So what was it?
So the first book I remember reading completely was Inkheart.
Brilliant.
By Cornelia Funk.
And how did you come across that?
I'm not too sure, actually. I can't really remember how I came across it, but...
I reckon you took it as a challenge. I think you looked for the thickest book on the shelf and thought, I can do this.
It also does have a wonderful cover.
It does.
And I'm such a cover person that I pick books up. If the cover intrigues me, then I normally turn it over as an adult. I'll turn it over and read what it says on the back. Mm. And covers are so important to get us to pick up new authors maybe that we haven't heard of. And they can... there's a huge amount of psychology that goes into cover designs, as Yvette knows as well, because some books, the publisher will say, well, the target market is female, or the target market is, the Harry Potter market, and so on. And so they sort of will lure potential readers into thinking that it's in that thing. Mm. And I just do remember the Inkheart, but I had the very, very fortunate chance to see Cornelia Funke at, I'm not sure it's Funk or Funke, I don't know,
Funke,
German,
yes, yeah,
maybe it, at the Jaipur Literary Festival earlier this year. Yvette, mm-hmm, and I went, and she was incredible, and she was just such a fascinating speaker, and her process in writing and the world she creates, because she's gone on to write a lot more than that. So if anyone wants a really, really fantastic read, mm-hmm, I would say anything by her, by Cornelia Funke, is
so
good.
How old were you when you read that? Can you remember?
I'm not too sure, but it was probably at the age of maybe 10.
Okay, yeah, so just more or less when you were getting into Percy Jackson as well. So
yeah.
It's a hefty book, so I think it says something for her power as a writer and as a storyteller that she absolutely got you hooked on that when you were fairly young. But I suspect you were always a good reader. And what, can you remember being read to?
Yeah, I can.
And who would have read to you typically?
My mum,
usually.
Yeah.
Correct answer, well done. And teachers, hopefully.
Sometimes.
Only sometimes.
But we were just talking off air, and I'd asked Nadir what books they're reading, because he's in the first year of GCSE at school, and I think the trend nowadays, much to my dismay, with the exam syllabus, is it's so exam driven that students don't get the set books that they would have had in years gone by. And I just find that really difficult.
I think you said you're doing English language GCSE first.
Yeah, I think at the end of year 10 and the end of this year.
So the end of year 11, you'll do the literature one, when hopefully we shall find you with your nose back in a book. But you can't do English language without reading. Let's face it, absolutely impossible.
I think it's a bit like talking of books. We come in every Saturday. We have to read books, not set texts, but books. And sometimes they're books that I wouldn't ever choose to read in the way that set texts at school would be.
They are set. We do get set texts. I get a pile of books on my desk.
Yes,
and
we read them. And I always end up thinking, my goodness, I'm so glad. I would never have put that book up. But then I'm introduced to a new reader, a new genre, things like that. And as long as you go in with an open mind, it is really, really good for us. But I do think young people nowadays have so many exams, so many tests, so frequently, that actually there is no sort of downtime. It's all about exam results. And sometimes I think it's a shame that education's gone quite that way, Yvette.
I would agree, and good to know that you find something like Rick Riordan a good comfort read on the weekend.
Yeah.
When it's time to chill.
Usually I read before I go to sleep. So.
Yes, that's my habit too.
And I've never ever got out of that habit, even if I read one page and fall asleep.
Yeah.
Still have to pick the book up.
Roald Dahl. It's its 100th birthday. Have you read any Roald Dahl books?
I've read George's Marvelous Medicine.
Yes.
And I've read, I can't remember the title, it was about pheasants. That's my favourite,
Danny Champion of the World.
That's it.
It is my favourite Roald Dahl, and I would recommend that to anyone, child or adult. It is just an incredible book.
Did you see the spot of news about Roald Dahl this weekend? You know, when he was flying planes during the war, he crashed and he had severe concussion, so a head injury. And they are now suggesting that having that sort of head injury actually can unleash your creativity. Because
I'm certainly not trying that out.
No, don't, please, you have enough creativity, Isabel. The team will never, ever forgive me if I give you any more ideas.
Yes, no. So, I didn't read that. But, well, as I said to you, I've been completely immersed
in
Bob Dylan.
I know.
That's all I've had time for. I think before, can we hear the poet laureate, I mean, the Nobel laureate himself, with one of his, just a little small clip of his song. You might not have heard of Bob Dylan. Nope. So here we go. Nada's introduction to Bob Dylan.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. And if your breath to you is worth saving, then you better
not swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Oh, the times, they are a-changing.
And there we are, a little bit of The Times, They Are Changing by the new Nobel Laureate for Literature, Bob Dylan. Thank you very much for that, Elaine. And Nadir's had his first introduction to Bob Dylan. I'm sure he's going to listen to a few more.
Reading something over the weekend, talking about English teachers and teaching, from an English teacher saying how much she'd used Bob Dylan's lyrics over the years to inspire her students. So I'm sure she's very, very happy to hear the news about him.
Sorry?
So, Nadir.
Yep.
What else do you read? We've had... Okay, so we know what you read when you were 10. We know what you're reading now. What else? Is it all fantasy?
It's mainly fantasy, yes.
Okay. Name me some names.
So I've read the Enemy series by Charlie Higson.
Okay.
He's been to the Literary Festival twice.
Yep.
The Emirates Airline Festival of Literature has had Charlie Higson. I know he's a great favourite of yours, Yvette, in terms of wonderful, and he did the young James Bond as well.
Yeah, he did.
The dates for next year's festival, your mum can write them down in her diary, is the 3rd to the 11th of March 2017. So anyone who wants to see more than 140 writers from around the world on every conceivable topic, but with a huge program for young people, picture book, primary, young adults, yeah. the whole gamut, and illustrators.
There's a writer coming who I think you will really enjoy, and obviously I can't say his name until Wednesday.
What's happening on Wednesday?
Let me think. I'm having my hair done.
No.
It's the launch of the names, Isabel.
Yes, so we will reveal
who's coming
on the 19th the lineup for next year. And it's a very exciting time for everyone.
It is, and there are a few names in there that I think you will enjoy. So if you're not sure, once the list comes out, you can always email Chrissy, because you're in touch with Chrissy, who organises all our reviewers. And if you want any pointers in who I think you might enjoy, now I know what you like, she'll let me know, and I'll send you your recommended reading list for March, and you can crack on with that, I think, which would be
so Charlie
great.
Higson, which of his books did you enjoy?
So I really, really enjoyed the Enemy series. So it's about everyone over the age of 14 sort of becomes, it's sort of like zombies-ish. They sort of become dysfunctional, and they group together, and they're trying to kill all the kids basically, but the kids basically have to survive. They're trying to survive, and they fortify places such as the Tower of London, and the first part is set in Waitrose.
And in Waitrose?
Yeah. they fortify Waitrose.
How sensible is that?
Oh, that is lovely.
They've got a supply of food for
That's a good place.
And quality food, obviously, because it's Waitrose. It's very, very British, isn't it?
Yes, Waitrose. I'm going to repeat the quiz question again. We're getting lots of answers, mainly right, but not all right. Have these American writers won the Nobel Prize for Literature? John Steinbeck, Ernest Hemingway, and Toni Morrison. Text in a yes or no answer to 4001, and please put your name with the text so that you can go into the lucky draw for one of this year's signed copies from the illustrious writers who attended the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature 2016.
I'm going to put Nadir on the spot. Can I do that? Is it cruel? Nadir, have you ever heard of any of the three writers we've just mentioned? John Steinbeck?
I think I've heard of him, but...
Okay, not read him. Not Toni Morrison?
Not really.
Okay. Ernest Hemingway?
Not really, no.
Okay. So they have written some quite good things that I think at your
John Steinbeck wrote The Red Pony.
He did, which is actually
children's book. That one is definitely on for your age group, and it was one of the reading lists even when my son was at school, which wasn't that long ago. And also his sort of famous one was The Grapes of Wrath, which is an incredible read. Ernest Hemingway is my favourite author of all time. For Whom the Bell Tolls. But I read that when I was I was post O level when I was introduced to Hemingway.
So 14's yeah, you're on the cusp of.
Yes, I think that is a sort of an A level. His works, and then once I'd read one, that was it.
We've got loads of targets today, Nadia. Take this away.
Yes, yeah.
And it will be brilliant for your English language GCSE. Can I just say, the more you read, the easier it will be.
The thing about Hemingway that I absolutely love is that he doesn't use adjectives. I know we're going to come to a quick break, but I'll get this in. He doesn't use adjectives. And how can he be so powerful as a writer with this passed down spare simple language? I just can never fathom it.
And he'd have failed his SATs on that, I fear.
Would he?
I think so. He would not have had enough adjectives in.
He took a whole day to write one page, and when you read it, it's so seamless and it's so powerful and it's so evocative, but without this sort of flowery type of language. So when you're a bit older, read his books and see if you agree. We're going to a break. We'll be back with more talking of books after this.
Book Champion, for all those books you might not know about, but should. From Agatha Christie to Jeffrey Archer, we've got it covered. Talking of books.
In association with the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature.
On Dubai Eye 103.8. Now, back to the team.
Welcome back to Talking of Books. I'm Isabel Abel-Hull and joined by co-host Yvette Judge, and we're both from the Emirates Literature Foundation. And today we're having a focus on books from the Arab world, and it's been such a pleasure to be joined by Nadir, who's at Dubai College, and has told us all about his book, Rick Riordan's, the whole of Rick Riordan, really, plus other books too. And delighted to know that you're at Dubai College and that you're doing Arabic GCSE. And you may want to listen to what our new guest, tell me your name, please.
I'm Leanne.
Leanne. Leanne is going to be talking about some of the books that she reads in Arabic. So you can certainly listen to what Leanne has to say, and maybe you'll be inspired to select one of them to read too. Because as we know, reading is the way that we expand our language, that we learn about new ways of expressing ourselves and just enriching ourselves, not just with words, but ideas as well. So Yvette,
yes,
are you going to ask Leanne what she's been reading?
Okay,
and so we need to say goodbye to
we
Nadir.
Do so Nadir, huge thanks from us for coming in today, and we hope you'll be back, because I know you've got other books that you want to talk about.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, that would be brilliant, because I think you've been a great reviewer.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Say hello to everybody at Dubai College for us.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
So Leanne, you read in Arabic and in English, which I'm in awe. So, when you were a baby and growing up, what languages did you encounter at home?
I began speaking Arabic, but as I grew up, I began speaking English.
Okay, so Arabic is your mother tongue. That's the one that you learnt first, and you've always done remarkably well with your English too. So you now go to a school where you're taught in English?
Yes, but we have like some Arabic lessons too.
Of course you do. Of course you do. So which school are you at, Leanne?
Emirates International School, Jumeirah.
Okay, so the original Emirates International School.
Yes.
Which is not far from Waitrose, back to Waitrose. Mm-hmm. And you're taught in English, but you have Arabic lessons, Arabic for native speakers.
Yes.
Yeah. In those lessons, do you read in Arabic? Is it mainly spoken Arabic?
It's actually both. We read and we speak in Arabic.
Okay, excellent. And do your Arabic teachers recommend some great books for you to read?
Yes, they're really nice when they recommend the books.
That's really good to hear. So if you had to choose a favourite book and it can be Arabic or English, what would you actually choose?
I would choose Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, because I like the way that like there's mystery and adventure in the book.
Okay, would you read, you've read that in English?
Yes.
Would you read it, would you consider reading it in translation in Arabic? Or would you?
I don't know, but probably yes, because I like reading in different languages also.
Excellent. It will be quite interesting to see how it transfers into Arabic. I know when the Arabic edition of the first Harry Potter came out, I seem to recall it was much shorter. Maybe that's misremembering.
Yes, that's interesting, because this weekend, From the 20th to the 22nd, we have a three-day translation conference. And I know one of the sessions is talking about children's literature in translation. And our publishers just, pitching bestsellers rather than books that would work in the language it's being translated into. So if you ever do get a chance to read it in Arabic, we would love to know what you think, Leanne. But what was the book you were telling me about off air that you've read in Arabic and you really enjoyed?
It's called Shamsi Fi Jaybati, but in English it's Sun in My Pocket. Mm. And I liked it because I like the way the boy was determined and he tried to help everyone else and not just himself.
Okay, who's the writer? Who wrote?
Amru Abu Hamidan.
Okay, and what age would you say this is aimed at?
Probably from like 9 to 13.
Leanne, I'm not sure I've asked you how old you are, actually. How old are you, Leanne?
I'm 11.
You're 11, okay, so spot on with that. We're also joined in the studio now by Rania, who is our resident Arabic language expert for Books for Young People, amongst other things. So Rania's with the Literature Foundation team, joined us recently. Now, I know she's passionate about reading in all languages because I first met her through the Costa Children's Reading Group, and her son, I know, is an avid reader, not keen on fantasy. I know that, I've learned. Mustafa doesn't enjoy fantasy books, but you know, he's done really well, he's read widely, and Rania is completely bilingual. I am in awe of her, as I always am of people who have languages at their fingertips, and she's certainly looking quite hard into the area of children's books in Arabic for the foundation. So Rania, have you read the book that Leanne has read, or is it a new one for you?
I must admit that it's a new one for me, and
good.
it's now on my list of books to read. Because I think that there's only one reason to read a book, and that's if it gives you joy and if it makes you happy to read it. And if you picked a book and you told me that you like it, then I'd love to read it and find out why.
So where did you get hold of it here, Leanne? Did you get in a shop, or do you read it on your Kindle or iPad? Or?
I read it online.
Okay. So it's certainly available as an e-book?
Yeah, I think so.
Great. And do you have a good supply of Arabic books in your school library?
Yeah, we do. We have like a section for Arabic books.
Good. And you find some good things.
On that point, for any of our listeners who are interested in getting Arabic e-books, there's been a wonderful initiative between Emirates Airline and Google Play for the region, whereby they're offering online books that you can get for up to a 90% discount. And the Emirates Literature Foundation were involved in helping select books that they felt would be readily snapped up by readers. So you just have to check out Google Play and see what the titles are, and then
get some bargains.
And this is going on for at least a month, isn't it? And this is all part of the Emirates Year of Reading, so it's a fantastic initiative, and the first time they've ever done anything like this. So it was a pleasure for me to be involved in the sort of high level discussions between Google Play and Emirates Airline.
I seem to remember that after that you backed out, Isabel. You handed
I think I missed the last couple. I'd been Googled out, let me say. But it was fascinating. But Rania, it's just wonderful to hear your passion, and so spot on in terms of how I feel that the foremost thing about a book is that you've got to enjoy it. And it's not enjoyment that you're going to be laughing. It is that it's somehow or other that writer is speaking directly to you and you feel changed. You feel somehow or other a different person when you finished reading the book. And that's what I mean by enjoyed. It can make you cry. It can make you sob. It can make you think, oh my goodness, why did that happen? It can be a page turner where you just want to know what the solution is, or it can finish without an ending almost. And those are the kind of books that I absolutely now as an adult I enjoy, where they don't tie all the little bits up and I'm left wondering what has happened to that character, and that those characters stay with me forever. So tell us about the books you've chosen for young adults today to review that you believe would be really enjoyable. And these books are in Arabic.
I certainly will, Isabel, and one of them actually has the kind of ending that you're talking about, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. So I've chosen two books. The first one is called Fetin by Fatma Sharafuddin. This has been translated into English, and the first time I heard about it was when I attended a session last year at the Emirates Festival of Literature called Lost in Translation. And Fatma was talking about her...
So Fatma Sharafuddin came to the festival, didn't
yes.
she?
Mm-hmm.
Can I just... I'm really sorry to do this, Rani. I'm going to stop you there because I can see the red flag waving. We have got a break. Do stay tuned and we will pick up with Rania after this break.